Welcome to Whiskey Cast, the Cask Strength podcast featuring news and interviews from the world of whiskey. I'm Mark Gillespie. This is episode number 152 for July 6th, 2008. Coming up in a few minutes.
When I was in Edinburgh, the first bottle I bought was Balvenie Doublewood. At the time, it was £25. It was a big deal. I shared it with a friend. We both through whatever it was, 13 pounds each, and it was a big deal.
Last fall, I mentioned that the Balvenie was looking for its first U.S. brand ambassador. The choice has been made, and you'll hear from the new Balvenie guy in a few minutes. First, though, let's check the news, and let's start with an update on the lead story from the last episode, the shutdown of Springbank Distillery in Campbellton. Things are now looking much brighter than they did just a week ago when Springbank released its original statement announcing a shutdown in production of new spirit because of rising raw materials costs. It left the distillery's future very unclear. However, various sources, including John Hansel and Dave Broom, have been able to get more details out of Springbank management. It now turns out the shutdown will only last until January, while the distillery staff works on the stills and expands the warehouse space. In other words, it's a normal shutdown that any distillery might go through for maintenance instead of a long-term mothballing project, and that is good news. If you're looking to buy a distillery, Glenmorangie has one for sale. And no, it's not the one in Tain. The Glenmorangie Company plans to sell its Glenmurray Distillery in Speyside as part of its plans to get out of the blending business. Almost all of Glenmurray's output goes straight to the blenders, but it has produced some excellent single malts in the past. In addition, Glenmorangie is selling its existing headquarters and bottling plant in Broxburn to Diageo for about $90 million. It plans to stay there for 2 years while new facilities are built in the Edinburgh area. Some of the money will go towards upgrades at the Glenmorangie Distillery in Tain, including increased distilling and warehousing capacity and a visitor center upgrade. A couple of weeks ago, we heard from Brook Lottie's Jim McEwen about some of his new expressions, including the revised versions of Brook Lottie Rocks, which he designed to be served with ice, and the slightly peaty Brook Lottie Waves. There's also a third version we didn't talk about. Brook Lottie Peat replaces the 3D range. That was the expression with malts of three different levels of peating vatted together. It's being released this month worldwide. Look for something interesting from Johnny Walker soon. The details have not been officially released yet, but there's word that a special 100th anniversary edition bottling of Johnny Walker Black Label will be out soon. I'll keep you posted as the details become available. Finally, back in episode number 141, Bern Stewart master distiller Ian McMillan told us about a special version of Tobermory bound for the market. The 15-year-old Tobermory is unusual, as Ian explained. For many years now, Tobermory malts have been warehoused on the Scottish mainland for maturation, but this expression is being brought back to Tobermory's home island of Mull for its final year in its Oloroso sherry casks. It's now being sent out to the market. Time now for the calendar of events brought to you by Laphroaig. The Classic Malts Cruise kicks off in Oban on July 12th with stops along the way at Skye and Islay. The Woodfire Grill in Atlanta will hold a Scotch tasting on July 23rd. Royal Mile Whiskies in Edinburgh hosts Whiskey Fringe 2008 on the weekend of August 9th and 10th. The Brandy Library in New York City kicks off a month of Spirit School classes August 26th with a class on rare scotches, followed on the 28th by a class on American whiskies. The Beer and Whiskey Fest will be September 2nd in Atlanta. Milroy's of Soho in London holds a worldwide whiskies tasting on September 10th. And the Whiskey Guild holds a whiskey on the Hudson River cruise that same night in New York City. Finally, the Kentucky Bourbon Festival is the week of September 16th through the 21st in Bardstown, Kentucky. It's the same week as the Ryder Cup Golf Tournament, about an hour away at Valhalla Golf Club in Louisville. You'll find a complete calendar of events at the WhiskeyCast website, and it's brought to you by Laphroaig Quarter Cask. Become a friend of Laphroaig and claim your own square foot of Islay at Laphroaig.com. Last fall, I mentioned that the Balvenie was looking to hire its first brand ambassadors in the U.S. and was taking applications on its website. It sounds like a fun job, getting paid to travel, talk about, and drink whiskey, right? Now one veteran whiskey lover is going to find out just how much fun it is. Sam Simmons is better known on the web as Dr. Whiskey. His blog has been a great resource and a labor of love for several years now. And when he heard about this opportunity from Kevin Erskine at the Scotch blog, Sam jumped for it, and he is now the new real-life Balvenie guy.
Balvenie was sort of the first whiskey that I felt I discovered in a way. You know, I lived in Scotland, like I said, when I was in Edinburgh. The first bottle I bought was Balvenie Doublewood. At the time, it was 25 pounds. It was a big deal. I shared it with a friend. We both threw whatever it was, 13 pounds each, and it was a big deal. We were students, and I loved it. Yeah, we nursed that bottle. But so then after that, it was just a matter of deciding, well, I might as well apply and see if they like me. And then we did it that way, and then I met people from the company. They were absolutely lovely. You know, it's an independent company. It's a Scottish company, still family-run. The people who work there as a result are, I don't know, just it's a different field. It's not a corporate field, and I'd been approached by a few other organizations. It was very different right from the start. So, yeah, I was excited about it, and I was excited that they were excited about me. So it just went from there.
And you're already in New York, right? I know you were moving there from Toronto, right? Or from London?
Well, we moved from London, but there were some visa issues because I am Canadian. But now America has decided that I am an alien of extraordinary ability. And, yeah, that's what everyone's an alien in America, but they decided that it's extraordinary. And with the help of Charlie McLean and Dave Broom and a lot of others who helped me write letters and make a case for being extraordinary, America was convinced, and here I am.
Now, what are you going to be doing with the Balvenie?
Well, it's sort of figuring it out as I go, but basically it is a brand ambassadorial position, and I'm responsible for the whole United States. There's never been a dedicated brand ambassador to the States, but we've had people, Heather Green and Charlotte Voisey, Sharon Owen, across the States who are generally related to either Hendrick's or Glenfiddich, who've been doing Balvenie work across the country, so a lot of people might know them for that. But we've never had Grants has never had a dedicated Balvenie guy as such, although there's been the cartoon. I'm the Balvenie guy in the flesh with a little bit less hair.
Yes, do you resemble the Balvenie guy?
Well, no bow ties. That was something we discussed in my interview when I came over. No obligation to wear a bow tie, but if I want to read the Wall Street Journal, I'm encouraged to.
Okay. Now, when do you actually start the new job?
Well, I've been working, I suppose, since the beginning of June. And by working, I mean just being in touch with people, figuring out how the market works over here, because with my experience in London and Scotland, in particular, I've sort of been exposed to a very different world of malt whiskey enjoyment. So the way things work here is that, you know, obviously it's a big country, lots of variety. It's sort of like United States of America. Every state is different. So that's really exciting, but it's really intimidating because things are different everywhere. So I'm coming to terms with how the liquor laws work in different places. As you know, you're living in, it's not even state by state where you are. It's sort of county by county, is it not?
Or town by town in some cases.
Town by town. So then exactly, it's intense to learn. So I'm just doing that sort of research to figure out sort of how it works practically across the country, how I can talk about whiskey and in particular the Balvenie and bring it to all corners of the United States.
Now, what's the future for you in this position? Do you spread out? Are you going to be traveling all over the country? Are you going to be sticking mostly to the East Coast? I know when there was when the original application process started, there was some talk of hiring one guy for the East Coast and one person for the West Coast. Is that going to be the case still?
You're right. Well, I interviewed as two different people. One was Dr. Whiskey. One was Sam Simmons. I'm just kidding. Sorry. What happened, I think, is they decided to just go with one for now. It might have been budget reasons. It might have been that they thought I was young and ambitious and I'd be able to do it. But it is a lot to cover. For the time being, at least I've not heard anything else. I will be responsible for the whole country. Obviously, you focus on areas because you have to. Like I said, the country's vast, a lot of people who love whiskey. So it's sort of the Frank Sinatra thing for me at first, at least it has been for June, the New York. If I can make it here, I can make it anywhere. So we're doing it, we're focusing, or I am anyway, focusing on New York first as a launching pad to sort of first see how the job works, what, how the bars are working, cocktailing. You know, summer is not the best time for Scotch whiskey. A lot of retailers are putting it on the back burner, although people still love their Scotch. As you know, I'm sure you sit back with a few after our conversation today.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, I have to ask, how is your wife taking to all this? Because I take it now you're actually making a living from whiskey.
Imagine
which has
that.
To be a good thing.
Yeah, well, we've been in a new apartment for 3 days, and already the whiskey shelf is large. And she said, it only took you 3 days. Yeah, we left a lot of whiskey in London. We had a lot of parties to get rid of the stock we had, because, as you know, you accumulate. There's a malt for every moment. So.
Right.
But, yeah, the Balvenie helps with an initial shelf, so things are lining up there. But yeah, she's excited, obviously. She's from Norway. You met her, I think, when we were in Toronto.
Right. Yeah. We were in Toronto, yes.
Yeah, she's from Norway. She's extremely excited to be in New York City for all kinds of reasons. She's already had a few professional leads of her own, so that's exciting. But yeah, it is sort of a joke that something that started as a sort of university hobby and then a small blogger, you know, website has turned into, yeah, exactly, a paying career of sorts. But it's natural because I'm enthusiastic about it. I love the Balvenie to begin with. I love Scotch whiskey more generally, and I love just sort of whiskey culture. You know, I'm sure from what you do that you meet lovely people.
Yeah.
From all over the world, from all walks of life, all over one grain, I would argue, the product. So that'd be whiskey. Yeah. It's great. She's excited. I'm excited. It's there's a lot to adapt to for sure, but no complaints.
Now, will you continue the Dr. Whiskey blog? Because that's always been an excellent resource for whiskey lovers as well.
Yeah, well, thanks for saying that. I think, yeah, I mean, most of the traffic that Dr. Whiskey attracts are newer whiskey drinkers. Like, I still have about 300 returning visitors a day, but it's the sort of 700 others that are interesting to me because, you know, you can see your traffic and it's people Googling whatever, best cheap whiskey, best Christmas whiskey, best Father's Day gift, things like this. And that tends to bring them to Dr. Whiskey. I've also had some really hilarious searches. But anyway, so things that bring them to Dr. Whiskey like that. And that's exciting to see, and I want to keep that going because, I mean, the most important thing for me as a whiskey lover, never mind working for Balvenie, is bringing malt explorers to the category. And then once there, yeah, of course I would like them to discover Balvenie as I did. And most whiskey lovers have, and they're already passionate about that particular product. But there is a wide world out there. And I think that Dr. Whiskey has to continue to do that. It becomes a bit of a conflict integrity-wise for me as a human being to objectively talk about a brand like Balvenie now that I work for them. I know they're comfortable with it. There's been no formal legal action taken against me, you know, parameters laid. They've been, like, again, it's a family company, Scotch family company. They're lovely, lovely people to work with from bottom to top. So that's been fine. I'd really like to keep Dr. Whiskey going, as all signs seem to indicate, it will keep going and bottles will keep coming in for me to taste. And again, with the Balvenie, it'll be up to reader. I mean, I think I will have to try some drops at some point. And in the past, you know, I've tried bottles from people who have treated me very well and still said negative things about them. So maybe I'd still be able to be objective. As you know, Dr. Whiskey is not really about rating. I don't have a score. I don't say good or bad. I very rarely say words like that. It's about explaining as clearly as possible what sorts of flavors you're going to find in the whiskey. So that a new drinker, specifically, like I said, those 700 who come a day, those new non-returning visitors who come a day can see, let's say, whatever it might be, say Balvenie 10, which, you know, the Founders Reserve, something like this. That's an entry-level malt. They can see the types of honey flavor it has, the vanilla, toffee taste that it has, that gives them an idea of what it's like. Because if they're looking for something smoky, they know that's not what it is. Rather than being, oh, it's an 8 out of 10 whiskey. I don't do that anyway. So I think we're safe for the future, and Dr. Whiskey will continue to prescribe.
You'll find a link to Sam's blog at the WhiskeyCast website. That's all for this episode of WhiskeyCast. My email address for questions and suggestions is comments@whiskeycast.com. And you'll find links, the calendar of events, the WhiskeyCast store, and a complete archive of past episodes at the WhiskeyCast website. The address is www.whiskeycast.com. WhiskeyCast is a production of MG Media, copyright 2008, and comes to you from the charming, yet regrettably dry town of Haddonfield, New Jersey. I'm Mark Gillespie, reminding you that when you drink, please drink responsibly. Thanks for listening.